And welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy, the podcast that digs into the paranormal and tries to find normalcy in the topic. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And this episode is our 2020 look back episode. Guess what, guys? We survived.
2020 is hindsight.
It is hindsight, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad for 2020 to be over and hopefully have a little bit of a fresh start in 2021. And hopefully it's a little bit smoother sailing for everybody. That being said, I did a little tarot reading. And if you follow us in our Facebook group, I talked about it on there. But I did a year spread for 2021. So looks like, according to the tarot reading, things are going to stay the same until about April. April, there starts to be a little bit of a shift. We start to balance out a little bit more. And then in June, we get a conclusion to a cycle.
Okay.
And then in July, no, sorry, in May, we get a conclusion to a cycle. And then in June, it's celebration and happiness. So I'm going to take that to be maybe COVID gets under control by June. Maybe we can take off our masks. Sort of hopeful. And then the rest of the year is just kind of
celebratory. We made it. Let's go.
Yeah. And then the rest of the year is, I mean, there's challenges here or there. There's nothing like super eventful that's going to happen. Now in January, there is a major shift in leadership. From that of a more of emotional leadership to a more logical leadership with strong feminine energy.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know if that is our new vice president or if that's just the way the world shifts in January. I don't know. But I'm excited to see how this plays out and see how accurate the cards are.
So a strengthening of the tellurent current during the time when the solar current is on the gain.
Yeah. But speaking of predictions, in 2019 I made some predictions.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't remember exactly what all my predictions were. I listened back to the episode and I apparently missed that section of the episode. You know, it's one of those things that when you're listening to podcasts while cleaning house and taking care of children, sometimes you miss big sections of podcasts. But I do know one of the things was that 2020 was going to be a great year for our podcast.
Yeah.
And it definitely has been. We have grown so much in 2020.
Yeah, we definitely have.
And I know a lot of it has to do with the fact that we hit 100 episodes. And that's a huge milestone in podcasts. And a lot of people won't even listen to a podcast unless they have over 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And I understand. I've definitely found some podcasts that I really, really like. And then they stop after like 25, 50 even. And then I'm like, oh, I want more. So.
Well, you're stuck with us people. Please, we're still here.
May I have some more?
Some more?
Some more.
In fact, there was one of them. I emailed them and I was like, are you guys going to have any more episodes? And they told me, yes, we will. And then they haven't had any more.
Oh, no.
Lindsay, I'm talking to you.
When we cover when we cover Missouri, we should have you on the show, Lindsay.
Yeah.
I know you got a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
And speaking of, 2020 was the year of the podcast road trips, which was great because we couldn't actually go anywhere.
Yep.
Now, if you guys remember our road trip episodes, we basically, we take the statistics from our podcast and we decide to research an area where we have the most listens. And in 2020, we got to visit. First place we visited was Seattle, Washington. And then we went on to Brighton, England, which nicely tied into our medical battle of Britain episode, which is just a few episodes later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we also went and did Bradford, Virginia, which was a really interesting one.
Yeah.
That was kind of our way to get to travel in 2020 since we got stuck here. And that was one thing listening to the very first podcast of 2020 is we were talking about wanting to go and stay at like the Skirvin and wanting to go and do all these things. And none of that happened because
yeah,
March hit and we couldn't leave.
According to our podcast, Spotify Wrapped, our listeners grew most in Australia by 90%, the United States by 81%, and Canada by 35%. We have been listened to in 29 countries. We do not advertise, so all these increased listeners are due to you all sharing our podcast with the people you like and the people you don't like. And I thank you. I thank you.
Thank you so much, people.
And your reviews help, too.
Yeah.
Your ratings and reviews on all the different podcast apps. Thank you guys for leaving those. As soon as we find them, we read them. Now, because there are so many different podcast apps, sometimes it may be a little bit before we actually get to see it. But we do every few weeks do a search for our podcast to see if we have any new reviews. Then like the Australia one, it was almost a year before we saw it. But that was just because they weren't letting us see international reviews at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So our listeners have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of your favorite episodes of 2020?
My favorite episodes from 2020 would be episode 92, Injured Cold.
I liked Injured Cold. I liked Grinning it because it was one that we had never done before. I never heard of it.
And it tied in because we had both had dreams of the Smiling Man or the Grinning Man before redoing the episode. So
yeah.
It was really kind of interesting and creepy, and one of my favorite things the episodes were acting out Injured Cold meeting with one of the witnesses who met him, and somehow I decided to try to turn Injured Cold into a drug dealer, and I was playing the witness. I was like, I'm a salesman. Hey, you want to sell something for me? You want to sell some cocaine? And cracked me up.
Is that the one where I was improv-ing the cop and then I stole your coke from you?
And then I
told you, I said, it's going to cost you 40 of whatever kind of dollars we use here because I didn't know.
Yes. I was laughing so hard recently listening to that episode.
And I still don't know what kind of dollars they use. I never looked it up.
One of the things that I found so much fun in general in 2020 was our acting that we started doing when we started reading quotes and stuff. And that was one of the episodes where, like, voices. We just were doing voices
doing
like
voices
crazy.
A little bit
and
more, yeah.
It was just, it's been fun just getting to explore that.
We're getting better as we go.
Yeah, thank God. Here, I'm going to give an example of what it's like when I try to do an accent. I seen him as well. I seen him as well. That's totally it. I seen him. I can't get him British accent. I struggled so much with this. You, Dave, and Eli, all it just comes natural to you. Just automatically, like, pull out these accents. And, like, for me, I struggle so hard with an accent. I can fall back into my natural, like, redneck hick accent easily.
Well, I've always wanted to do voice impressions, so... I'm not very good at them, but I've always wanted to, so I can jump into them pretty well. Now, staying with them is a different thing.
Yeah, there's certain ones that I can, like, hop into, but I can't do it on command. Like, sometimes they just kind of happen.
Yeah.
Like, I think one was, like, the vampire episode, I was doing, like, I am a vampire, like... But the Injured Cold, yes, was one of my favorite. It's on the list of my favorite episodes as well.
A lot of fun. And, you know, something I never heard of before, but it, like, I think the craziest thing for what was the fact that we had both had dreams of something similar to Injured Cold, like the week before doing the episode.
And I have something else that also fits that I want to cover as well. We will eventually get to it. It's the man in the black hat who was a shadow person.
I think we talked about that on the
and I definitely have a book that's on my Kindle now. I haven't read it yet though, But it's definitely an area I want to dive into as well for 2020.
But. So then my next episode, which we don't talk a lot about, but it just was a big part for the episode, was our 100th episode.
Oh, I love it. It was our 100th episode
celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't any topics we covered. Like, it wasn't a topic or anything like that, but just the fact that we made it to 100 episodes and the...
I loved the cryptid battle.
Cryptid Smackdown was pretty cool.
Speaking of, we are 69 episodes away from our next cryptid battle.
Oh, and we got some good contenders this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the 100th episode was also on my list of top episodes of 2020, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. The next group, this is a selection of them. It's episode 116 through 120, and it is our Enfield Poltergeist episode that Amy did all the research for.
Woo, woo!
Mm-hmm.
It was just such an insane story. Because we broke it up into multiple weeks to record it. And every episode I'd leave going, I want to know more. I want to hear more. Like, I want to know what's going on. It was just so much fun. The craziest shit that was happening.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that because usually I'm the one that knows what's going on. And I was just over here being Janet and Guy Playfair. And then that one psychic, you remember the psychic I did?
Yeah.
And man, the voice acting we did on that was on point.
That's actually the episode of where the came from. That was me trying to get into Margaret.
Yeah, she was trying to play. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name, but yeah, Margaret, yeah.
Isolate that.
I before E except after C.
Oh, fuck, Margaret. Oh, fuck off.
Poor I went Margaret. Into my Arnold Schwarzenegger voice covering some... I don't even know what country it was supposed to be from. It turned out to... get to the chopper!
Yeah, the infield episodes were... it was fascinating to do. Because...
I still think of the marble and the Lego...
barrage
going on.
Now, from 1977 to 1979, when the infield haunting took place, was the exact time that the Montauk Project was experimenting with making poltergeist phenomena happen out off of the island of Montauk.
Huh. Yeah. I did not know that.
Dave brought that up to me and I was like...
But here's another twist. According to some, the British government had their own version of a Montauk chair and they were running their own experiments.
Which would make sense as well. I mean, I would not doubt that most of the...
countries are probably
the top eight countries there were experimenting with the same type of technology like we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And in a weird coincidence, that happens to be my other favorite episode. Episode 127, Montauk Project.
Montauk Project was awesome.
And as well as I didn't know anything about it, and Dave blew my fucking mind. And I can't wait for the next episode.
That was one of those episodes that I just kind of would like get lost in the story of it. And it left me like jaw dropped. Like, oh my God, this explains so many things. Especially when you look at it with like Enfield and Bigfoot sightings and like, you know, all this stuff really amped up during this time period.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, wait a second.
An entire increase in psychic phenomena.
Do, 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 do. Speaking of phenomena, I hope you listeners now cannot hear the word phenomenon
do, 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 do,
without going.
Do, 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 do.
I forget which page I was on, but somebody asked that about another podcast group that I'm in. They say every time the hosts say phenomena, does anybody else hear in their head, do, 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 do? and I said, I do, but on my podcast, we actually say it, but we have a whole lot less control than the host in this one.
So those were, I knocked it down to those four episodes. I mean, technically it's like 8 episodes because I counted the whole infield as one. But it was really hard to narrow it down.
This year, because I had
a lot of
tough.
Fun on almost all the episodes. There's, like I said, one or two that I was here for, but I just wasn't that into the episode.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, of the entire year, I think there might be one or two episodes that I just wasn't super into.
So there's only one, and it was a series that just for me, I just was not a huge fan of, and it wasn't the episode so much as it was the content of the it wasn't even the content. It was it, the
and that content it or was, that, those episodes almost made it to my top list just because it was.
And that was the Aleister Crowley. And it I think it's just because I felt so dirty after each and every episode. And another part of it is as a female, I have definitely come across men like Crowley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That just give me the heebie jeebies. And I think even just hearing about him was giving me the same heebie-jeebies that I have felt before. And right. I'm sure other female listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. There's just sometimes there's just you come across somebody who just kind of creeps you out and you can't figure out why. Crowley did that to me. Crowley just kind of creeped me out. And so they were interesting episodes, and I liked the information we got from them. I just didn't like the topic as much. Every other topic I've had no problem with, but Crowley, for some reason, just, ugh. So, Dave, what about you? What are some of your favorite episodes from 2020?
I have so many favorite episodes. I love getting lost in the rabbit holes of alien and conspiracy theories. Imagining how cryptids would interact with the land they live with, digging into mythology to get closer to the esoteric secrets hidden within. I experienced many great opportunities learning about the paranormal places that our awesome listeners live close to, meeting people in the interviews that are out there doing work for spirits on both sides of the veil, and sharing what I have learned about my occultic journey thus far. Not only on this podcast, but on the podcast Fool's Guide to the Occult and Lux Occult. In our Vampires episode, which I can't believe that it took us that long to do Vampires, I found the Seven Brothers and their one sister.
The Seven Brothers
and the one sister.
Versus Dracula.
I forgot about them, actually. So, yeah.
I forgot that was this year. Whew. Feels like so long ago.
Yeah, Tiger King was this year, too.
Yeah.
This has been the longest 5 years.
In a year.
Like, and it breaks up into sections. Like, there is, like, January to March where everything was normal. And that was, like, 5 years ago. And then you had, like, March to June when we were in, like, complete lockdown. And that was 4 years ago. it's like grouped into like little sections of the year.
Yeah, that's definitely been weird.
Concerning the Dover Demon, in honor of my favorite theory, I brought along a recording of the children's book, Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber. But I have a challenge. None of us can laugh.
Because for you too, listeners. I feel like I got this because I've heard this before. But then again, I have not listened to it with other people, and sometimes that can...
I tend to laugh more when I'm around people than by myself.
Now, is the reasoning for this because our picture of the Dover Demon looks like a hairless beaver?
I think because we were making fun of it being a hairless beaver a beakless cock.
Yeah, I remember now. See... Sometimes parts of the episodes leave my head, but yes, now I remember the hairless beaver and the beakless cock. So here it is.
Reach Around Books presents Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber. Brenda has a beaver, and she's ready to confess. As soft and sweet as it may be, her beaver is a mess. Brenda's beaver's big, Brenda's beaver's hairy. Every guy who's seen it says that Brenda's beaver's scary. Brenda took her beaver for a swim down at the lake. By the looks that she received, she figured that was a mistake. she stuffed that furry mound into a swimming suit. It stuck out all around. It was anything but cute. Some who saw it laughed. Others were just stunned. Brenda's beaver was hanging out, soaking up the sun. Her friends could not believe her. They said, "We need to talk." They covered up her beaver and they took her for a walk. "Brenda, dear, listen here. We want to help you out. Your beaver needs a makeover. It really needs it now." "I hope we don't seem pushy," said her biker friend named Kim. "Your beaver is too bushy. We just think it needs a trim." Savannah pulled her beaver back to show off what she'd done. Hers had a nice long landing patch. It looks like it'd be fun. "Chrissy's beaver is quite rare. It could be worth a million." "Hers is bare. It has no hair. Her beaver is Brazilian." Catherine let her beaver loose. She said there's nothing to it. "Grab some clippers and a can of mousse. We'll show you how to do it." Kim produced some scissors and Chrissy had some wax. Now all that Brenda had to do was sit back and relax. As they came towards her beaver, they said, "Now don't be scared. We're going to see what's underneath that frumpy pile of hair." It ended in just minutes. They didn't leave her much. When Brenda's friends were finished, she and her beaver blushed. Her beaver was so tiny, they could not believe their eyes. It was smooth and it was shiny. It was hard to recognize. Now Brenda is so proud. It seems like every time we see her, she's in the center of a crowd, just showing off her beaver.
Oh, I made it.
Saw Dave over there chuckling a little bit.
Yeah. I almost lost it with the Brazilian beaver.
That part, I about lost it as well. How'd you guys do? Did you laugh? I am waiting for a response. Did you guys laugh?
A beaver is so
healthy. That's right. The next one was, "Do you want to play with my beaver?" So
it's a hairless beaver in a corkless. I don't know. Fuck. Hairless beaver and a beakless cock. Cockless beak.
The pandemic special we did with Grognostics was really cool. That just kind of came out of nowhere. So Jason had an injury and they weren't able to record an episode. So Steve reached out to us and said, "Hey, what do you think about doing this?" And we were like, "Yeah, let's do that." Well, everything's kind of current before this pandemic just kind of blows over in the next week or two. And
little did we know.
And we pulled it together, and I think it was a really good episode. That was one of my favorites. I like working with those guys.
Me too.
Yeah. Any episode we do with them is a lot of fun.
The interview we did with the Memphis team, it was very enlightening.
Yeah.
When it comes to how kind of the afterlife is for spirits. Some things that I've read in certain occult books and certain things that I've, I guess, found hidden within occult books that they touched on a whole lot in that.
Yeah.
And I guess anybody else who studies that kind of stuff, I'm sure you heard kind of the same things I probably heard with their method and their results and things.
They were definitely probably one of my favorite interviews we did this year.
I also found it, because at the time, I'd never heard of anybody who did Spirit Rescue.
Yeah.
Now, since I've interviewed them, I've heard a little bit more about Spirit Rescue. But it definitely was a concept of spirit investigation that I really, really enjoyed, was the idea of helping the spirits as well. So what's your next favorite episode?
I thought it was really cool how enlightening the Indian mythology and the follow-up meditation was for everybody.
Yeah, I really liked those episodes too. And it was very enlightening. And it got me back in my meditation and even back into some more of my occult studies that I'd kind of put back on the back burner for a while. Mm-hmm. So it definitely was a good episode.
Yeah, to me, just hearing the mythology and how it ties into so many different other mythologies and how the stories were so similar yet different and Everything was very interesting.
I know at one point in that I had a kidney flare up, so I had to stand and and recite it all and stuff. And I think you took a picture of me and put it on our our group that I was standing up like a professor and teaching everybody. But it was really just because I couldn't sit down.
Amy's half a teacher.
Oh yeah, I am. I get to sleep with my teacher every night.
I think when we did the Dion Fortune and the Magical Battle of Britain, I think that Hector and Luxa added a whole lot to that. The amount of banter we had back and forth with them and the amount of jokes that were just free-flowing in the sidebars and the conversations, it really just flowed well.
Yeah. We got to teach them about the Southern goodbye, too. Yeah. But it took us like an hour and a half to finally get off the... Yeah. The chat with them, because we just sat there chatting about stuff. Be like, well, it's about time for me to go, and then start right back on it. It was also really nice, but that one is it flowed into, we had just done the Brighton, England episode, and Brighton was like a major point in the Battle of Britain, so it was kind of cool that kind of tied it together.
Yeah. Our episodes tend to have a lot of Snickersy.
You said that before too. Yeah. Snickersy.
I forgot about that's snickersy.
Knowing you're hungry before you're somebody handed you a snicker before you realize you're hungry. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Synchronicity. There we go. That's the word I was looking for.
And on that topic, we do have another word to enter into our dictionary. You want a clip of this one before we move on?
Sure.
Exudes. I know. The wind-whipped seafront excudes.
Word that I'm adding to the dictionary. Excudes.
Excudes me.
You're doing great.
When you've had too much to drink and you're trying to get through the fucking crowd. Excuse me. Excudes me. You set them my toe again.
Excudes.
Excudes me.
Added to the Unearthing Paranormal Sea dictionary for 2020.
Let's see, there's a real toss-up between Bridgewater Triangle and the Rendlesham Forest. Oh, because both of those, I got to dig so deep into different theories. And in the Rendlesham Forest particularly, I got to do some decoding with decoding and translating my own version of the binary code. Which the fascinating thing about that is when that binary code was written down in the notebook, and I don't think I pointed it out in the episode, the popular binary code of the time was 7-digit. But if you put it into the factors as 7 digits, you don't come up with anything. It's only 8-digit binary code, which they were developing at the time he wrote it in the notebook, but
it wasn't
mapped outside of like IBM.
I really, really liked the Rendlesham episode.
Yeah, that was another really good one.
Thought it was really interesting, my discovery on that with the limestone deposits, which really has been brought up a couple other times in other episodes since then. And that's kind of part of my new research technique, is if there's an event, I'd like go and check the geological survey of the area to see what the limestone is in the area.
And I like Chad's theory on it about the ancestor places.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that, actually, yeah.
Because I know that's been brought up several times since.
Yeah, they both are really good. The Rendlesham Forest and the Bridgewater Triangle. I mean, if it wasn't for the Bridgewater Triangle, we wouldn't have the Puck Wedgie.
Yeah, that's right.
Puck Wedgie.
Oh, Puck Wedgie.
Come here. Come here. Come here.
Hey, come over here and check this out.
Well, Dave is gone. We don't know where he went. He followed the little creature into the woods.
Oh, I have an update from our Loch Ness Monster episode.
Oh, yeah?
Nellie and Thomas McElroy, residents of Scotland, who you might remember from the episode, they describe another encounter they experienced, this time with an alleged alien.
Ooh, let's listen.
And then these aliens had me up on their ship, right? They was probing me and all that.
We had taco salad that night.
Don't matter what we had for dinner, woman. Now this alien had a big head and big black eyes. and it was all bent over me. I said, what do you want from me, alien? And do you know what he said?
Tree fitted.
Let me tell the damn story now. He said tree fitted. And so I realized that it wasn't no alien. It was that goddamn Loch Ness monster again trying to trick me into giving him tree fitted by dressing up like an alien. Don't that just beat off?
I just gave him tree fitted a week before.
What? You gave that monster another damn tree fitted?
He tricked me.
Well, no wonder the damn monster keeps coming back to our house. You keep giving it tree fitted.
Oh, oh man.
I'm so glad we have them in our episodes.
Oh, that's gonna stick with me for the rest of the night now.
Oh, and I have another update for another episode.
Oh yeah?
This is about the Travis Walton episode. So Robert Lee, which I guess was like a throwaway Facebook account. I went to it, there's nothing on it. But they left us a message concerning the Travis Walton episode. And I don't know what they sound like, so I'm just going to read it normal. Unearthing another alien abduction story, Kip Russell encounters a flying saucer in a field one night. He gets blasted unconscious by a blue beam. Kip wakes up lying on his back in a small wedge-shaped room. He's groggy, weak, and doesn't know where he is nor how he got there. At first, Kip thinks he's probably in a hospital. The alien is 5 foot tall with scary eyes that dominate Kip the way a man dominates a horse. On board are two humans that work for the aliens. Kip asks what they're doing, but they won't answer his questions. When they leave, Kip escapes from the room and goes around a curved corridor. He finds a bar and threatens to use it as a weapon. Kip has the run of the ship and is frantic to get away before the aliens return. He enters a round room with a hemispherical ceiling. In the center of the room is a control console. A button is pushed and Kip gasps when thousands of stars appear all around like a planetarium. Even the floor becomes transparent, but he can't figure out how it works. Kip exits the craft by passing through an airlock. The humans grab Kip and pin him down. He tries to fight back, but they force him to swallow a capsule and he passes out. The aliens return Kip to Earth many days later. They drop him off on the side of the road late at night. Kip walks into a town. A phone call for assistance is made. And then, the final mind-blowing twist. Kip is shocked when he learns it's not the day he thought it was. That's all in Robert Heinlein's novel, Have Spacesuit Will Travel, a science fiction fantasy story published in 1958.
Okay, that sounds very much like the Travis Walton case.
So, I found this book on tape and I listened to it, okay? The devil is really in the details on this one. Now, I brought along a plot summary from allreaders.com. According to this, the novel is set in the near future, when the Earth has established a few small scientific bases on the moon. Clifford Kip Russell enters an advertising jingle writing contest, hoping to win an all-expenses-paid trip to the moon. Instead, he wins a used spacesuit. Kip puts the suit, which he dubs Oscar, back into working condition. Kip reluctantly decides to return his spacesuit for a cash prize to help pay for college, but he puts it on for one last walk. As he idly broadcasts on his shortwave radio, someone identifying herself as Pee-wee answers and requests a homing signal. He is shocked when a flying saucer lands practically on top of him. A young girl, who's Pee-wee, and an alien being, which is the mother thing, flee from it. And then they all go up in space and zip around the galaxy having a great time. Until they come in contact and are kidnapped near the moon. By Wormface.
Oh, no!
So, he isn't abducted from a field.
Yeah.
He gets into a spaceship willingly with a couple of people from a field, so. A horrible-looking creature who refers to all others as animals. Wormface has two human flunkies who assisted him in initially capturing the mother thing in Pee-wee, a preteen genius and daughter of an eminent scientist. The mother thing speaks like birdsong with a few musical notations. Kip and Pee-wee have no trouble understanding her. Kip, Pee-wee, and the mother thing try to escape to the nearest human base by hiking across the lunar surface. but they are recaptured and taken to a base on Pluto. Kip is thrown into a cell, later to be joined by the two human traitors. Worm faces two human flunkies, who have apparently outlived their usefulness. Before they disappear, one mentions to Kip that his former employers eat humans. The mother thing, meanwhile, makes herself useful to the captors by constructing advanced devices for them. She manages to steal enough parts to assemble a bomb and a transmitter. The bomb takes care of most of the worm faces, but the mother thing freezes solid when she tries to set up the transmitter outside without a spacesuit. Kip courageously goes outside himself to activate the distress beacon and receives a terminal case of frostbite. Help arrives almost instantly from the Mother Thing's advanced race. Kip, Pee-wee, and the Mother Thing are transported to Vega 5, the Mother Thing's home planet. Kip has suffered severe frostbite and is kept in a state of cryopreservation while the Mother Thing's people figure out how to heal him. It turns out that the Mother Thing is far hardier than Kip had suspected, and freezing did not hurt her at all. While Kip recuperates, a vegan anthropologist, Professor Joe, learns about Earth from Pee-wee and Kip. Once Kip is well, Pee-wee and the Mother Thing travel to a planet in the Lesser Magellanic Cloud to face an intergalactic tribunal composed of many advanced species which have banded together for self-protection. The worm faces are put on trial first. They promise to annihilate all other species and are judged to be dangerous. Their planet is rotated out of three-dimensional space without their star, effectively an act of genocide, dooming them to freeze to death. Then it is humanity's turn. As represented by Pee-wee, Kip, Lunio, an ancient Roman centurion, and a Neanderthal man. The Neanderthal is rejected as being of another species. Luno proves belligerent but brave. Pee-wee and Kip's recorded remarks are then admitted into evidence. In humanity's defense, Kip makes a stirring speech. The Mother Thing and a representative of another race argue that the short-lived species are essentially children who should be granted more time to learn and grow. It is decided to reevaluate humanity after, quote, a dozen half-deaths of radium, unquote, which is about 19,200 years. Kip and Pee-wee are returned to Earth with advanced alien devices and scientific equations provided by the vegans to help the human race. Kip passes the information along to Professor Reinsfeld, Pee-wee's father. Reinsfeld arranges a full scholarship for Kip at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where Kip wants to study engineering and spacesuit design.
Okay, so I've got a few things to say here. The synopsis that you just read to us sounds a whole lot more like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy than Travis Walton's story.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Mr. Robert Lee, Mr. Fake Facebook account, was either relying on us not to do research, so they obviously don't listen to the podcast, and didn't.
Or he wanted us to read a good book.
I'll say, or he is part of the alien disinformation organization, or he works for the publisher of the book and just wanted more people to actually get the book and read the book.
Yeah.
So one of those three.
but like I said,
all that you're okay.
But like I said, the devil is in the details. You know, when Kip is trying to get away, he arms himself.
Which I would too.
When he leaves the room that he's in, he goes left.
Well, you only have two choices.
All the corridors are curved.
You're in a spaceship.
Now, I guess the most compelling one is the planetarium room.
Yeah.
But in the book, they made this sound more like it was kind of almost like a 2D map that then projected like on a projector.
Yeah.
Kind of different, but I mean, the ending's completely different from what he claimed it was.
What if?
But.
Oh, go ahead.
But I mean, there's also different versions of different books. Maybe one version had a different ending and one that's printed later has a different one. I don't know.
Because this is Unearthing Paranormalcy and we like to come up with alternate theories. What if during Travis Walton's abduction, there was another Travis Walton that went back to 1958 and wrote this book about his experience?
Oh.
What if this Robert Lee, by reaching out and telling us about this story, created a butterfly effect, which then in turn made the book be written differently than it originally was? And so he was giving us the story, but like I said, the butterfly effect changed into the story that Dave just gives a synopsis of.
And that also plays into how come with all the other skeptics, especially with Philip J. Glass, how come nobody else has come forward with this story before?
I would feel like if this was the case, Klass would have found it instantly and used it. And if not instantly, then back in 2016 when they were on To Tell the Truth or whatever that show was that they were on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it would have cycled back at some point and been addressed.
But Robert Heinlein, if you're not familiar, he's also known for the works like Starship Troopers.
Maybe Robert Lee is Robert Heinlein and he just wanted more people to read his books.
Hey, the fact that Robert Heinlein listens to our podcast was fine with me.
Or is still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, 1958 was when this was published, so he would have already probably been in his 20s to 30s, which
he's
would then
time traveler.
Make him... What, in 2000, he would have been 100? Well, no, sorry. That math is hard. Math, man!
Well,
so, if he was, say he was 20, so 50 years, he was 70.
62 years since the book came out.
So he would be in his 90s now. The ability to work Facebook might be a little bit more difficult for him than...
Why he didn't have any photos.
Well, he died in 1988.
Allegedly. Oh, see?
but there's a... The Puppet Masters is a movie based off of his work. Destination Moon.
Project He's a good writer. Moonbase. He's got some good stories.
Now I kind of want to listen to this story.
Well, I mean, it sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they expected us to read the book.
Well, I didn't read it. I listened to it on tape.
But
it took like 7 hours, 8 hours.
I mean, listening on tape is equivalent to reading it.
I mean, that's how I read books.
But just wanted, you know, like most people do when they read things on Facebook, they automatically assume it's truth.
Yeah.
I think that was more what he was hoping for in his post. And for us, when we see things like that, we're like, ooh, research.
Yeah.
No, when Dave sees it, ooh, research.
Well, I even had it marked to read it too, and Dave beat me to it. In the end, though, from all accounts that I have seen, Travis Walton believes it's true. And that is, it's his reality. So whether or not we believe him or not doesn't matter because it's his reality, not our reality. So
led to a good book and a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's had to live with the consequences of everything that happened. So that's, who are we to say?
If you see the synchronicities and the coincidences between Have Spacesuit Will Travel and Travis Walton's tale. I mean, those are your coincidences and synchronicities. I'm not going to take that away from you.
Well, like I said,
I don't see it.
I see more of a correlation between it and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy than I do it and Travis Walton.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the trial and all this stuff, and like,
and then,
in my head as you're reading that, I'm like, so long and thanks for all the fish.
And then almost the way they portrayed the movie Fire in the Sky.
Yeah.
Where there was like the pod with like the dead bodies in it, and it seemed like they were harvesting people to eat them.
Yeah.
That kind of fits in more with this.
It does. Story. And to me, the Travis Walton story, I really don't think the aliens meant to harm him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was one of the vibes that I got from the story that he was telling about it, was that they actually weren't meaning to harm him. He was just scared. And so he's probably imagining the worst, but if they meant to harm him, he never would have woken up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, they have the technology that they have. If they want to kill us, they'll kill us.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to let us live. So I don't think the aliens ever intended to harm Travis.
Which, so. I mean, with the technology the aliens allegedly have, they wouldn't even need to kill us. They would just need to put a program into our brain for us to kill ourselves.
Yeah. So, yes, I was fascinated with the post that he left on our page. Mm-hmm. And it caused us to look into it, but I don't see it.
No.
Yeah, and we appreciate all kinds of feedback like this. Yeah.
But have a real Facebook page. Don't do a throwaway Facebook page.
I mean, it could also be just everything's 100% private.
It could
People
be.
Do that also.
Yeah.
I just know when I go to it, there's no pictures, there's no friends, but you can also set all that stuff to private.
True. So, Robert, if you're a real listener, I apologize. Robert, if you are a alien disinformation person, bite me.
Wow.
Jinx.
Can you jinx on an animal noise? I cannot thank all the people we have worked with this year enough, sharing their experience and knowledge of the worlds and the rich history and mystery they contain, including but not limited to Stephen and Kayla from Memphis Ghost Investigations and Spirit Rescue, Stephen and Jason of Grognostics, Connor Gossel, the Haunted Historian, Lux Estrada from Lux Occult, Hector DeFool from Fool's Guide to the Occult, Adam, Jennifer, and Ashley from Rogue Investigations, James P. Nettles III from Continual, the con that never ends, and you guys.
Aww.
Awesome.
The listeners.
Oh, not us. He looked at us and said, you guys.
And you guys at the table.
Somebody we forgot. We've got to thank Frauder Yara for his input on the Enfield case.
Yeah, yeah.
As well. Absolutely. And he has a podcast as well, and it is
the Faith Blind Council.
Yes, yeah, so I was like, I can't think of it right now. It's saved on my list of podcasts to listen to.
Now, you don't hear his voice in our episode library, but you'll hear his voice on his podcast. Yes.
Yeah, he's the one who gave us, because he is a speech. No, he's a speech pathologist. No, he's not a speech pathologist. He's a, I don't know. He works with voices.
he works with voices and languages. Yeah. And
he was able to, he listened to the recordings of the Enfield Poltergeist and gave his opinion on what he thought the girls were doing with their voice. And although I disagreed with him at first, he did message back and it was like, okay, I see where you're saying. So yeah, it makes sense.
I get it too. I just know for me doing the voices, it was hard enough. So I'm still a little skeptical. But
now he had some follow-up after he listened to the episode.
And after I said that I didn't believe him, he followed back up.
So he wanted to let all of us know that, one, now knowing that she was supposedly possessed by a man who used to live in the same flat, I have 2 points to make on that. A bit of a cop-out in regards to avoiding the accent change. B, she still possessed the phraseology of a prepubescent girl, not that of a middle-aged man. And then he says that, and then the second point is that when I'd mentioned the vocal frying, this was kind of an approximate to glottal fricatives. In doing so, it alleviates the supposition of the uses of false vocal cords that would leave one with a sore throat, as theorized by others. There are actually 2 methods by which one can achieve a growling voice. Your host had even mentioned something to the effect of, I'm an old guy and can only do this for so long, I can't imagine a child doing this. A child's vocal cords have much more elasticity and capability to perform such tasks for a longer period. Assuming, in my opinion, incorrectly, that she was using the false folds as opposed to glottal fricatives. It'd be significantly easier for a child anyway, and this is just me being nitpicky, by the way. So he also sent me a video, I won't play it, of him doing this and how we'd talked about stretching the throat out and not being able to do it.
Uh-huh.
Well, he showed how you could do that using these lower glottal fricatives, no matter how your neck was turned, and still achieve the same voice.
Yeah.
Is really interesting.
It was. And I understand what he was saying a little bit more.
That's the first time I actually heard that part of it. Yeah. So, no, I could understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got friends who do, like, the death scream, death metal screams and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they can do it for hours and then have go back to normal voice, cut in between a singing voice and doing that.
Yeah.
So, after meet one of my friends who kind of does that, we'll be driving in the car and I'll hear him do it. I'm just like, I could see it, a kid being able to do that.
Yeah.
If she just learned how to use that part of her.
And part of me wonders if she was just doing it for Maurice Gross.
Yeah.
Because he was so adamant of wanting to hear the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for a long time, she wouldn't even do it in the same room as them.
They couldn't look at her and all that stuff, yeah.
And then Margaret developed it, too, from practice. I mean, it doesn't take away from anything else from the infield, like the tables flipping over and all the other stuff that the kids didn't do. But the voice, especially when you're talking something of a possession, like when we covered exorcism, once the entity has the voice, it has control of the whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it never actually did anything like that. I mean,
It threw her a lot across the room, but it wasn't nothing like you would see in a exorcism.
Yeah.
In a possession.
Yeah.
But
thank you for his input as well. It's always nice, especially when it's your profession and you're more knowledgeable at it than we are. I mean, heck, those half of those words he used,
Yeah.
I was saying, we're not specialists in any of the things we talk about.
I will pretend that I understand what you are saying and nod.
I want to thank everyone who's been on our show and those who continue to listen and support us.
Oh, and also, we got to thank Chase.
Oh, yes.
Our werecow for all his little sound clips he's done for us.
Yes. They crack me up every time.
Oh, me too.
And there's just so many people to thank.
We want to thank God and
our parents.
Yeah.
You're the real MVP.
So now for my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you guys covered a lot of my favorite episodes already, so I'm going to come up with some new ones real fast. But one you didn't cover was the vampire episode. And the reason I liked that one so much, first of all, it's hilarious. I found myself listening to it today and just laughing. And it's also because I really like vampires. I like the vampire lore. I like the mystery of vampires. I like the different aspects of vampires.
The sparkly ones.
I love how they reflect the culture of the time.
And after we did that episode, I discovered another show that we didn't talk about, I don't think. And that's Things We Do in the Shadow.
Oh, yeah.
And they cover vampires so well in that show.
Yeah.
That show's really funny.
It's hilarious. I love their aspect of the psychic vampire. He cracks me up. He's just kind of like Melvin that just sits there and just starts naming facts and just like talking and just drains everybody around him who has to listen to him.
Fun fact. No, I'm kidding.
And so I found that show after we did that episode. But Chad also, it brought up a whole new aspect of a vampire that I have not seen covered before in the vampire lore. And I think it needs to be addressed. And that is the vampaper.
Vampaper.
And here we go.
I don't remember this. Spirit possessing a corpse or being bitten by a vampaper. Vampaper.
Do you have love for paper as well?
No, the vampaper is for my blood. Cut my fingers and drink my blood.
Okay. The vampire doesn't have fangs. He just walks up with a paper cut. That sounds more painful.
Or being bitten by a vampire, not a vampaper.
I forgot about the vampaper.
So I envision like The Office, right?
Oh, yeah. And then the vampaper, whenever he's going to turn somebody to his side, there's like all kinds of paperwork everybody has to fill out, like triplicate and all these contracts they got to sign for the behavior they're going to go as a vampaper. And
so, yes, Dunder Mifflin does pop into my head as like the lair of
vampapers. Picture Dwight is a vampaper.
Well, it would make sense if a vampire was going to be in America. It would be in a Sylvania.
Like Pennsylvania. Let's see some other ones. I also really enjoyed our cattle mutilation episode. Yeah. I can't believe none of you brought up cattle mutilation.
One of my favorite parts, like when I was going to cover, is one of my favorite parts of 2020 was you and me going on random conspiracy searches on the cattle mutilation episode and how we just like kept playing off of each other and got deeper and deeper until we came up with
the werecow was invented. And the werecow has produced this merchandise.
Yes, it
has. Oh, it launched a whole fashion line.
It did, man. And speaking of, I have gotten word that the products are great, top notch, which is good. I haven't ordered anything from them yet. So I'm really glad that the t-shirt's good quality and all of that. So, yes. And then that really got Chase involved.
Yeah.
And he is our werecow.
Yep.
And Chad is our number one expert on the werecow.
Yes, I am.
Of course, all
reptilian incubation chambers.
Oh, misplaced kangaroos. It was a short, sweet episode.
Kangaroos in America.
Whoa. I mean, I have actually used my knowledge from the misplaced kangaroos in everyday conversation. So it was a pretty informational episode. I'm just going to say it out, throw it out there. But it was also a lot of fun to research.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was the Ed and Lorraine Warren. That was another one that I really enjoyed doing the research on, kind of like the Enfield case. And it gave me a new perspective on the Warrens. And I've listened to a few Warren podcasts about the Warrens since that. And nobody ever dug into the actual event of Ed's ship that sank. They all just reported as fact.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting that nobody actually did any background checking on that. And if any of our listeners have found the incident in the records, send it to me, because that's something that if it's true, I'm going to give him 100% credit on it. But I can't find the information, so it's really hard for me to be like, yes, this happened, he's a war hero, you know, all that stuff, without any proof of it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of fed into it for me how he seemed to exaggerate stories. I know people who are like that, who like to exaggerate things in order to make themselves seem a lot cooler than they are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the vibe I was getting from Ed when I was doing the research on him. So it did give me a different perspective on the Warrens. And it was really interesting too, just to see how they worked and the way that they did things. And I don't know, they were an interesting couple for sure. So, but yeah, if you find out any information on his shipwreck, I would love to hear about it, because I can't find anything. And I've searched the Naval's sunken ship records, and there is absolutely no record of the ship sinking on that day in that manner.
No.
And as far as records go, I mean, World War II, there is extensive documents about everything.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't find in, like, World War I or prior, you know. That was definitely at a time where, and it's still like that now, where everything is logged and relogged in triplicate. Every incident, every ship log, everything. Oh, yeah.
And they would have reports from every survivor.
Mm-hmm.
You would be able to find, you'd be able to find something on it.
And when I was in the military, I mean, we did daily reports. I mean, it was almost like how the police do when they get back, they got to do their reports. Right. Now, it wasn't always like me as a soldier doing it, but the squad leader would do it.
Yeah.
But if there was some incident, I would have to fill out a report.
Well, like the Rendlesham Forest, every officer that went out that night had to write a report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so those reports, they reported this stuff. And like I said, I'm not saying that it's all factual, I'm not saying that it's all fiction. I just think that maybe the story was exaggerated a little bit to make him seem a little bit larger than life.
Yeah. Or he got all of his dates completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. And that very well could be, too. I mean, I do that a lot. So, like I said, I don't want to discredit him, but I still haven't seen enough proof for me to be like, He's a war hero, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a soldier, and he served for the United States, so he's honorable in that. But to claim that you're a hero, I need some documentation. I need some proof. Because anybody can say that they were a war hero mm-hmm. and never even seen action. So that's where I stand on that one. Now, another one of my favorite episodes. We went live.
Yeah.
Halloween.
We did our first live podcast. And I was overwhelmed with how many people we had joined.
Yeah.
Like I said, during the podcast, I was expecting a couple. Two, three, maybe max. And we had a bunch of people on there at one point. We were getting questions asked and all kinds of stuff. And it was so fun to interact with you directly.
Yeah. I will say next time we do one, we'll make sure the quality is a little bit better. I would try to rewatch it. And there's sometimes you just don't hear us very well.
Yeah.
But that was our first time, so we're figuring it out.
We'll get better and better, and we'll eventually get this rolling to where we maybe do one a month or something. Yeah. Even
I think it'd work better if we could feed like the soundboard and the mics, because the episode we released came out good because we're all in the mic. But if we could get that into the camera, or into the feed on the live stream, But
it would take a little bit more finagling with our equipment, but we could figure it out. Yeah. But it was so cool. It was really cool to get to do the tarot readings and all the bibliomancy. And I really like doing the Estes method live. That was kind of cool. What was even cooler about that was when I was doing the playback and I actually got to hear the questions you guys were asking that I was answering. Because I didn't hear any of that during. And it was like, this does kind of correlate. Okay, now I see why Chad got a little bit emotional. Yeah, this does sound a little bit like it could be Dad. Like,
I think for our next live episode, we should do the where you hook it up through an amp, through a noise gator and all that.
And play it where you can actually hear it coming back out.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound good hearing the static and all that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you were sitting there listening to it.
Next time we can do the Ouija board.
Ooh.
Because I also got a Ouija. Well, I didn't get one. Our daughter got a Ouija board for Christmas. So we can totally talking board it up.
Yeah.
With Eli not being here, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. But
yeah, we can do it.
I'd be down for trying it.
Yeah, some people are superstitious about it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's all about you and what you want to do. Our daughter was actually not very excited about it. She was kind of scared of it. And it's like, you don't have to use it. But if you do use it, you can only use it with me and Dad.
Yeah.
And we're going to take special
precautions
before and after just to make sure nothing sticks around.
I remember using one with you when we were kids.
Yeah.
And your friends.
The live episode was definitely a lot of fun, and it was a new experience.
Yeah, and I taught her a banishing ritual.
Yeah.
For that.
So she
the IAO banishing.
Cleanse herself after and before.
Mm-hmm. I need to re-teach myself. I need to finish listening and re-listening to Damien Eccles, High Magic book.
Yeah. But, I mean, some of my other favorite episodes were, of course, the Enfield case and Montauk Project. The Devil Monkey, of course, I enjoyed it because I love monkeys in general. So that was a fun one.
So I loved all our booyahs.
Oh, yeah.
The booyahs were always one of my favorites. I just didn't put them on there for that. But my favorite story this year so far, well, I really was a big fan of Grognostic's story.
Oh, yeah, their story was awesome.
And then Dave's Cow Cthulhu. I really liked.
I loved when the listeners did the booyah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the listener stories for the booyahs.
Y'all came with some amazing tales.
Oh, yeah.
And then the one that Lux recorded where it had like the campfire in the background, had all the ambiance. That was really awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I hope to get to do some more listener stories coming up in 2021.
And don't wait for the call out. If you have a story that you want to share with us, record yourself reading it, and the very next booyah we have, we will throw it on there.
I still need to reach out to a YouTuber who got his start reading scary stories, and I want to message him, see if I can use one of his stories on there.
I actually, for Christmas, got a book of ghost stories by Roald Dahl.
I love him.
Was one of my favorite authors as a kid. So I haven't read any of them yet, but I'm super stoked about reading some Roald Dahl ghost stories.
And if you don't know who that is, I'm sure you've heard of...
James the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Witches, Matilda, The Twits. There's so many. The BFG. Like, there's so many that have been made into movies. And I've read all of his books. So... In fact, I think I did a book report on The Witches in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe up into seventh grade. I did book reports on The Witches. I read that book so many times. I want to see the new movie that's out. I haven't seen the new one yet with Anne Hathaway. But
it is on HBO Max.
Is it? Yeah. I'll have to watch it. But I really like the original one. So, yes, I am excited about that. Things to come in 2020. I've also got three books on Missing 411, so I'm going to start my Missing 411 series pretty soon.
Things to come in 2021.
2021, yes. Screw 2020. Things to come in 2021. So yeah, we've got the Missing 411. If you don't know about the Missing 411, basically these are cases of people who go missing in national forests and parks under very strange and mysterious circumstances and are either never found or they're found in places that they wouldn't have been able to get to.
A couple of seasons ago, we covered one of the kids. Was it Casey Hathaway?
No, Casey Hathaway was the boy who was
found
by, but said that he spent the night with the bears. Yeah. But we did cover one or two of them in one of our missing person cases.
Yeah. It was one that happened in 1966.
Yeah. And that one was about a little boy that all they ever found were his shoes.
Yeah.
But he was far away from where
he
should have been able to get to on foot. And that's the thing. And most of these people are found by bodies of water.
It's very paranormal things surrounding.
So I'm very, very interested in reading these books.
Yeah, we didn't get around to everything we wanted to dig into this year. But our list of episode ideas is so vast that we were going to have years of content ahead.
Oh, yeah. We'll name something we want to cover. And we add it to our list, and then other things take its place, and it just kind of keeps adding up and adding up. Listener requests. We have a new listener request that we'll have to cover in 2021.
Ooh, that's actually one of the things I'm looking forward to in 2021 is more listener requests.
And this one is for bringers of good. I kind of take that as like a reverse Mothman.
So more like angels and archangels.
Yeah, so I was thinking maybe angels or archangels. Yeah. And I also happen to have gotten two books on angels and archangels for Christmas. So
there we go.
Jinx, double jinx, triple jinx, quadruple jinx.
You're just going to start skipping numbers there.
So get into a little bit of Solomonic magic.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the things we did talk about that we were going to cover that we didn't cover, we've got Bat Squatch, which we still need to cover.
Bat Squatch.
Thunderbirds and flying dinosaurs.
And that one started in the first season. We just never been to it.
I mean, there were a few different things that we talked about on that that we were planning on covering that we haven't covered yet, but they're still on the list.
Oh, it's still in the chute.
See, sometimes we just come up with a story that or an idea that isn't on the list, and we decide to go with that instead of something that's already on the list.
We tend to flow with the universe. And it seems to work out for us because every time we come up with an episode, Netflix releases 15 episodes after we record it.
So I say every time we come up with something and do it, then I'm here at other podcasts or TV shows, or all of a sudden YouTube is full of people talking about this stuff. And I'm like, we did it first.
I just always sit there and think, we all pulled from the same file in the subconscious because.
And it's really cool seeing that because then I'll watch those programs and I'll be like, oh. I know the source that came from.
Yeah.
Because I read that source.
Well, I think the first time I noticed it was when we covered our Circus Freaks episode. And then Netflix had like five different shows covering Circus Freaks and sideshows. And I'm like,
any episode that we do that I use documentaries for, I tend to search and hunt for a documentary to watch. And then as soon as we're done with the episode, I find all the documentaries. Mm-hmm. And they all, like, I don't know if it's because I've searched for them, so it starts pulling them up on Netflix. I don't know how the algorithms of Netflix work, but man, it seems to be that way. But yeah, we got so many episodes in the vault for you guys. Dave's already done research on a few of them,
mm-hmm.
that he just preemptively did the research because we knew we were going to eventually cover them. So
one thing I want to cover this year is Pleiades.
Pleiadiacs, unite! We'll have to do that on a live so that people can... We have to practice our synchronicity in the actual motions there. We have whole hand motions and everything. But yeah, Pleiades. Now something... We were talking synchronicities here. You know, in our last episode with Grognostics, Jeff got brought up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I discovered...
Jeff with a small penis.
I discovered Jeff got brought up much earlier than that. Jeff was actually brought up in our, I was in the pregame of one of our, I think it was the vampire episode. I got to play this for you. Because when I listened to it, I was like, so that's like our second episode of the year. Jeff got brought up, and then he got brought up again in our last episode of the year.
So. Which I guess technically that's the first episode of the year because our 2019 look back.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that would have been the first because it came after the first.
But here we go. Say my name, say my name.
When no one is around you, say baby, I love you.
If you ain't playing games.
Oh, you're right. If you ain't playing games, say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby.
Dave, I'll say your name.
Oh, ain't calling me Jeff.
No, he said Jeff.
I said Dave.
Did you introduce Dave as Jeff?
Fuck, I did, yeah. I was kind of, I was a little more drunk than I thought
okay,
I was.
Okay, as I explained to everyone at the bar, when Eli says he's tipsy, it means he's drunk.
And that was right after we had the celebration of Eli's final cancer treatment. Now, he ended up having to go through a few more sessions of it. But that was before COVID hit, and we got to go to a bar, and we did karaoke at the bar, and that was that night.
My name's Jeff.
And we never released that, did we?
No.
That was just our warm-up.
That was just in our pregame. And yeah, and Jeff. Then this happened in Grog's episode last week.
I don't know if you guys know, but there's usually some like white man with a small penis, and he has to go around trying to swing it around and punish people. We talked about Columbus.
Jeff? Jeff would be very upset if he knew you were talking about him.
Jeff? You were there. Who's Jeff?
Jeff Dunham?
He's the white guy with the small penis. Mm.
Just in general? How was your date last night? Oh, he was a Jeff. Is that like a Karen?
He was a Munson.
So apparently, Dave got introduced as a Jeff.
To all the Jeffs out there. I think I'm sorry. I don't know.
It's the motion of the ocean, right, guys?
I know it takes a long time to get to England in a rowboat.
But yes, I just found it interesting that we had Jeff in that episode and Jeff in the last episode.
That part was really funny.
And then I do have one other clip that I pulled, and I don't know where we're going to fit it in, so I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out here. Because we've done my mess up with my, you know, trying to do my, and Chad and his vampires. He has vampapers. Dave was hearing voices.
Individuation. Individuation. Yeah, I know. I'm just waiting for everybody to stop talking.
He's hearing voices.
There were no cuts in that. That was just like, that's exactly how that played out. And Dave was hearing voices that night.
He does stuff like that to us a lot, though. Yeah. He's like, I was waiting for you guys to stop talking or stop doing this. Like, we're doing it. But that one was good.
That was, I was sitting there listening to the freaks. That was my research for this episode was to go through clips. There was another clip I kept trying to find, and I couldn't find it. And how many times have I introduced this show now? 130 times.
He couldn't find our unearthing personalities. I couldn't find
it. There was one night that I did it. I was like, and welcome to another episode of Unearthing Personalities.
You did it 2 weeks
in
a row.
I did it. I did 2 weeks in a row. I can't find them. Oh, they're on my computer somewhere.
Well, we'll just have to reenact it.
But yeah, it was like,
I'm Chad.
And this is Dave.
Today, we are covering surprised personalities.
Yes. For unearthing personalities.
It was a long, drawn out thing, just like that. And I was like, I don't know why. Like, that was what popped into my head 2 weeks in a row. Unearthing personalities. Wait a second. That's not what this show is.
That's going to be, I guess, our pop culture episodes.
Oh, there we go.
When we, you know, branch off and we can have like five different episodes or podcasts going on.
Speaking of, we did fail at that this year.
Yeah, unearthing evidence. That went down
that
the drain.
That tanked quick.
I guess that's a good point with this missing 401. Is that going to be on the Unearthing Paranormalcy brand?
Yeah, we'll just throw it in with like a regular missing persons episode.
Oh, awesome.
Kind of like
awesome.
You're doing the Montauk series. This will just kind of be every once in a while.
Yeah. Year, I can't wait to Montauk about the Montauk project more.
Montauk about it. I love that name still. We'll have to come up with a fun one for missing 411. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
I don't know right either.
And I have we'll a 411 on the... No. But yeah, we did try... With unearthing evidence,
but we had
still have two episodes of the the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh yeah,
sitting in the vault to be edited.
So I still have an episode of Smiley Face Killers that needs to be the final episode of that needs to be edited too.
So, we might release that somewhere so people can listen to it without having to pay on the Patreon.
Yeah,
I mean we at least did it. It was fun. It was really interesting. I still have a lot of books about the subjects that we were going to cover.
Yeah.
Too much
work to do two episodes or two podcasts while working full time and for you guys being parents. And
well, and we talked about it in the best and worst years of humanity. I think it was in our pregame with Jason, but we've been working from home, but we have less time to get things done. It feels like,
yeah,
you know, we have more time that we can't go places. We can't do anything, but we're busier than ever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how this year's been for us. And definitely this year for us, it's been every time this has been the year of a broken house for Dave and I. So 2021, we're basically starting with a new house. you know, if something could break, it did break this year. That's been our biggest frustrations in 2021. I mean, we're still in the process. We're sitting basically in an empty house right now. We have a kitchen table and some furniture, a little bit of furniture, but everything is like been pulled out because we had a flood happen with a busted pipe 2 weeks ago. So we've been in the dry out process and we're getting new flooring and all that stuff. So I'm actually surprised we don't have a massive echo on the episode. But
which we might.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just kind of been how it's like if one thing could go wrong, something else could go wrong. But we're trying to look at it in the positive light. It's all new.
Yep.
So it won't be breaking anytime soon. And if it does, it's covered under warranty.
2021, the year of a warranty.
You better believe when we had to replace our heat and air unit, we got a warranty that lasted as long as we were paying for the bill.
Oh, absolutely.
As a whole... Like we talked about in that episode with Groggs, 2020 has had a lot of hard times, but there are so many shining lights in 2020 that, and honestly, the podcast has kept us going. It's been a distraction from everything else. When I haven't wanted to do anything else, I've never wanted to just pass on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's always been something I've looked forward to each week.
This year has been one of those things for me where throughout the week, I just don't have the joy, the passion to do anything. But when it comes to Saturdays, I always know, Okay, I'm going to get up, finish my research, just hang out and relax, and then go do the podcast. It's been my stone for 2020. It's always there. Always know what's going to happen. And yep. So it's kept me grounded.
Yep.
And it's been a good thing.
Yeah. And we hope that we've been that for you guys. I hope we've at least brought you some laughter in times of frustration and sadness. And we've all lost loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, we lost David's grandmother back in April to COVID. And so many other people have lost lives and family members. And I hope that at least we've put smiles on your faces in hard times. Because doing this podcast has definitely lifted us up during hard times.
And helped you feel like you were sitting at the table with us during this time of isolation.
Oh, yeah. And you're always welcome at our table. So.
Oh.
Oh. You and the listeners too, Jed.
Oh.
Shucks.
Now, if you get COVID, you're going to be at the table from your house on Skype. But
which reminds me, I'm going to be in a guest episode on an episode of Grognostics. It'll be coming out roughly around inauguration time.
Yep.
So be looking forward to that. Yes. You get to hear my pretty voice on their episode.
And you'll be drinking, right?
So. Yes.
Yeah. Anything else?
I got my outro.
Oh, okay.
Are we ready for it?
We talk about what we're hoping for. I mean, we kind of already have.
Wait, let's do our predictions for 2021. I was pretty spot on last year with a few things. I mean, I know I had said something about how it was going to be in a lightning year and how we were going to really see things. And I would say we definitely have. The truth has come out in a lot of different people.
Yeah.
We have definitely seen how humanity handles stressful situations.
By buying all the toilet paper.
So, what is your prediction for 2021, Chad?
Another good year for the podcast. At least one thing I'm really hoping for is a lot more listener interaction. I feel like 2021 is going to be a big year of growth personally and podcast-wise. Whether it's we get into something else. I know I have an idea of something I'm wanting to start doing just on the side for fun. And I just think 2021 is going to be the year that we expand even more. And I think a lot farther than we expected we could. I know it's kind of generic, but hey.
I understand. Yeah, I get it. For me, I'd like to see our podcast.
Our pod crashed.
I'd like to see our pod
I do not want to see us crash, okay?
I would like to see our podcast expand. And grow and like it did in 2020. I mean, we went from 10,000 listens to almost 25,000 listens this year. Our top episode tops 300 or 400.
Oh yeah,
400 downloads.
We made a list.
We checked it twice.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we did, but we made the.
We made the top 15. Top 30 ghost hunting podcasts.
Oh yeah.
We got interviewed for a paranormal convention. I mean, it's been pretty exciting the things that we have gotten to do this year. So last year, I guess. 2021, it's only going to get better. Maybe this year we can actually go stay at the stupid Skirvin. and we don't have to worry about COVID.
Yeah.
Sometime. Maybe that's what we'll do in August, you know, or July or June when that celebration's happening and we can just
can do a live episode from inside the Skirvin.
Yeah. Or the Stone Lion Inn.
Mm-hmm.
That one's not far either. I think that this year is going to be a year that we all are taking and seeing our blessings. I think 2020 has been a harder year for some people to see the blessings because it's been so negative for so many people. But I think 2021, we're going to see how lucky we really have been. even if we've had losses, even if it's been struggles and we've, you know, all that, we've pulled through, we're still here, you know. So I think that this will just be a year of appreciation. I am looking, personally, I'm looking forward to new leadership in the country. This is not a political podcast, so I'm not going to get too far into that, but I am very excited to see what this regime has in store for us. Because that's all they all are, right? They're all just regimes. It's just under different titles. But I'm always, it's, change is scary, but I'm always looking forward to change because there's always new possibilities. And this is going to be another year of endless possibilities. And it's just going to be up to us as individuals to grab a hold of it and take the reins of the opportunities that are going to come to us. Because I feel like we're going to all have so many opportunities, especially once the vaccine gets out and COVID's lifted and we can actually go and do things again. I think there's going to be an explosion of just possibilities and opportunities across the world and the country. So that's what I'm hoping for 2021. And with our podcast, we're just going to keep going up. And I'm interested to hear what Chad's little side project is here later. So, Dave, you want to close us out?
Yeah, I have some musings from the past year. This year, we saw some amazing things. We saw the determination of the human spirit in the face of adversity. We saw communities rise together and strengthen as governments failed us on every level. We saw those that were fed up rise against hate, oppression, and cruelty, despite the brutality, indifference, and inequality from those who were supposed to provide us peace, protection, and justice. These willful, brave, and selfless individuals and organizations in our communities help those who were unable when the people placed in power refused to. Our diversity is our strength, and we should not allow anyone to divide our communities into camps based in duality. We are wiser, stronger, and no better than to look at the world as black and white, us and them, or friend and foe. There is room for all of us in the world that awaits on the other side. We must continue to make sacrifices for the good of the whole, continue to unsheath the sword of justice to provide protection against hate, oppression, and tyranny. We must continue to think on our own, follow our integrity, find our own inner healer, and empower ourselves, while simultaneously staying united with community on our path to better times.
And I think that's a good place to end it. So long, 2020. 2021, we welcome you as long as you bring toilet paper. and we'll see how this year goes. We'll ride it like we rode 2020. I mean, it may be a bumpy ride, but we'll get through it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And
we'll get through it together.
Yes. Peace, love, and paranormalcy.
Peace, love, and UNP, baby.
Ooh, ooh. Well, until next time.
Keep digging.